Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Tam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Tam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And in case you don't have a copy of my book, you can get the first six chapters as a free download. Just put your name and email address in the little box at www.karencan.com, and then I'll send you a link where you can download the book and you can actually watch five of my Fast Track Your Healing online classes absolutely free as my gift for you. And then, of course, you can opt out at any time. But I'd love to stay connected to you. So I'm on Facebook a lot, currently posting lots of pictures about food. I'm really into food lately. So you'll see lots of pictures of food and recipes. And I'm also, you know, do the whole Pinterest thing, and hopefully you'll be enjoying my weekly Spiritual Medicine Digest videos, which I post on my blog about the latest energetics, what's going on in the world, and as an empath, like what's going on with me, and what I'm doing to, you know, heal myself and others and the patterns. So I hope you enjoy those as well. And today I have a very special guest, and let me tell you a little story about why I asked this guest onto the show. Now, if you have been watching my spiritual medicine videos, you've been noticing that I'm talking a lot lately about energetic boundaries. It seems to me, in my observation, that as we ascend, the earth energies are ascending, we're becoming a higher so-called vibration, people are getting pretty uncomfortable symptoms. And one of the things I've noticed when I've been testing myself and others in the office, like all of a sudden, they'll not test for themselves. They'll become someone else. They'll be their mother or their brother or their coworker, and they will test strong to that person's name. And usually it's someone that has some issues going on, and it's almost as automatically they're feeling their stuff and trying to heal it. And of course, their own symptoms are getting worse when this happens. So I call that auto-proxying for someone, automatically proxying for someone that you don't necessarily want to be, but just happen to fall into that. Now, I have been auto-proxying for Mother Earth for quite some time. Now, her and I have kind of a really interesting relationship, and we're supposed to be soul destiny partners. Sometimes that's appropriate, and sometimes it's not. But what I did notice was that when I started measuring boundaries with people, how healthy are your boundaries, your energetic boundaries? And I kind of divide them into different types of spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, that kind of thing. And we would get some numbers, and it was fascinating how as we would ascend, some of these boundary numbers were dropping, and it was like the veil was getting really thin, and it was like past, present, future. I mean, I have one person that, I mean, the minute he starts getting better, he starts getting sick again. What we found was he had really, really thin borders to his past and future lives. So he was feeling stuff from past lives, feeling stuff from future lives, and never felt great. And so I found this wonderful book in our local, one of our natural stores called Man and Beast, and she has a wonderful selection of books. And this book, Energetic Boundaries by Cindy Dale, popped up, and I thought, oh, this is what I need. This is perfect. You know, so I started reading the book and nodding my head. You know, so in this book, Cindy Dale describes like the seven different syndromes that one can have, energetic boundary syndromes. And boy, did I resonate with a few of those. For example, the mule syndrome. I literally laughed out loud when I read this one, because it was like, oh, hi, there's work to do. I'll take that on, you know? And it's like, yeah, I'm good at it, so I can do more and more and more and more. And so I was just laughing through the whole thing. And then the environ syndrome, that was so helpful to me, because once I got reconnected to the grids of the universe with reconnective healing, I noticed I was incredibly sensitive to earthquakes and if something was going on in Peru, I mean, I would know about it. And to this day, I'm very not so much that stuff anymore, thankfully, but very empathic about it. If I eat a food and there's like a curse attached to the food in like it could have been centuries ago, I will have a reaction to that food. And so I've learned to kind of check in with my food and make sure the vibration is high before I eat it. So hence a lot of pictures about food, because I'm doing a lot of food stuff lately. So I am so thrilled to have Cindy Dell on the show today. Let me tell you a little bit about her before we go into the really cool stuff in her Boundaries, Energetic Boundaries book. Now, she has been intuitive for forever, you know, since she was really, really young. And so these gifts she honed very early in life. She has, over 20 books on energy healing and spiritual matters, and some are pretty darn thick. It's amazing the information she has. Of course, being an intuitive, she can actually see a lot of imbalances and to really help people know what imbalances they need to make positive change in her life. And she's got books on chakras and the afterlife. I have another book called The Subtle Body. So if you're into intuition, you're into honing your intuition, I think it's really important to have really great resources. So we're so lucky that Cindy is here today to talk about energetic boundaries, because one of the things that people realize is when they increase their psychic awareness, their intuition, that if they do not manage their boundaries in a healthy way, they're going to be bombarded with all sorts of information that not necessarily for their highest and greatest good. They don't know what to do with it. They can be really, really sick. I've had several patients that have exactly this issue. So her website is cindydale.com. That is spelled CYNDIDALE.com. And so, Cindy, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for spending your time with us.
Thank you. I am thrilled to be here and always thrilled to meet a fellow mule at the same time. So some of us have multiple syndromes. Should we put it that way?
And yes.
So, yeah, we should have our own club.
That's right. And I used to have the healer syndrome, but I think I've been working on those boundaries for a while. So I think that that is so much better. But certainly, like I said, the meal syndrome and the environment syndrome was like eye-opening, like, oh my gosh, this is me. And I literally was in the middle of saying yes to something that I probably shouldn't have been saying yes to. And that I thought about it after reading that chapter. I thought, you know, maybe I need to say no here and not take on more work. Oh, my gosh. So fellow mule.
Yes. Well, and I meet so many people, just as you do, you know, who knowingly or unknowingly are really picking up feelings, issues, thoughts, thought forms, even ideas about what they need to do to accomplish mm-hmm. their life. And it doesn't originate in them. It could come from the ancestors. It may come from, you know, sort of this pool of genetics, you know, that decides what we're going to do. It could come from the person next door. And I, just like you are, I'm seeing a lot of people taking on issues for the world or for the cultures and communities that yeah. are really war-torn or starving. And, you know, it's a really tough time because we want to help people, but unconsciously we may be hurting ourselves in the process as well.
Absolutely. Well, there was a period there, I'm a little embarrassed to admit, but there was a period, it took me 6 weeks to figure it out, but I was being woken up suddenly. I just started waking up two or three times a night, and I would go back to sleep, wake up again. I thought, what the heck is going on? And finally, I started saying, okay, is there something I'm supposed to be doing here? And it was like Mother Earth calling. I'm like, okay, what do you need done? And sometimes it's like, okay, I need to clear this vortex in such and such an area, or a bunch of entities have just descended on the Vatican, or I'm just giving you an example. But, you know, so I would do this work and then fall back asleep. And if I did the work, I'd fall back asleep and stay asleep. So 6 weeks later, you know, and then I started doing that with other people. And I thought, okay, wait, this mother is one thing, but now I'm practicing for my dad, my brother, like all these people. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm waking up as someone else. And then it was then I was like, maybe I should check how healthy my boundaries are to all these people. And lo and behold, ta-da, not very healthy boundaries. And once I shored up those boundaries or continue working on that, because there's boundaries in all these different lives, I'm not being woken up in the middle of the night anymore, all of a sudden being called to heal something or some planet from, you know, I don't even know the name of. So this work that you're doing and talking about in this book, I find is extremely, extremely important. And maybe you can give us, for those people that aren't really aware of what these boundaries are, maybe give us like boundary 101, like what are these boundaries and what's the problem with them? How do they get broken?
Absolutely. I'd love to talk about that. And, you know, and I can even share a little bit from my own history that in general, we will find ourselves lacking boundaries, you know, and it affects absolutely every area of your life. So as I talk about what boundaries are, what manufactures them, you know, what takes them down, what causes us to give them up or whatever, you know, the people listening may want to think a little bit about their own history and some of the things that have bothered them in their lives to see what they might relate to. So boundaries are just simply the energetic extensions of our body or of what's called our subtle energy system, and they're the boundaries that are around us, that are reflecting the different kind of ideas and beliefs and programs and experiences that we hold inside of ourselves. I really kind of prefer explaining boundaries by first talking about chakras, which people may or may not know what those are, but they're what's called subtle energy centers that are inside of the body. And subtle energy versus regular energy is the invisible stuff. So we all know what physical energy is. You know, it's the stuff we can touch or prove. If we're sitting in a coffee shop, it's what we're picking up and hearing and able to repeat. So that's what physical is. It's measurable and it's shareable. But most of our reality is actually made of what's called subtle energy, which is less measurable or immeasurable, and it's really kind of the invisible stuff. It sometimes is called psychic energy or spiritual energy, depending on the culture, but it's the energy that underlies the physical reality and decides what you're going to see and what you're going to do and how people are going to treat you. So we have these centers that work with physical and subtle energies that are inside of our bodies, that are organs, just like our regular organs, and they emanate fields or energies. They give off energies that form kind of like circles around us, these bands of energy. And those bands of energy, which are start in the skin and then continue to go for sometimes miles and miles, depending on what's going on, are telling the world, they're sending messages into the world to tell the world how to treat us. And those very boundaries are also deciding what we're going to bring in. And so as you can imagine, you know, because these messages are based on what we've gone through, maybe our parents' beliefs, our unconscious, our subconscious, our soul, past lives, there's a lot of messages we're sending in the world that may not really work for us. So, you know, when I was a kid, I was like a super emotional kid. I could feel everybody's feelings. My parents were unhappy most of the time. And unconsciously, I decided that, wow, maybe I can help my family feel better if I take on the feelings that seem to be disturbing them so much. So, you know, it makes sense. It's logical. You know, if dad's mad a lot,
I did that too.
Mad a lot, you know this one. So, you know, in my little head or little unconscious self, you know, it was like, oh, you know, if I absorb dad's anger and mom's sadness and bring that in, you know, and I tell the world, I actually send through my external boundaries the message, open for business, you know, I'm going to be the therapist of the world. People are going to hand me their feelings. And it started that simply, you know, just unconsciously wanting to do something good. But it's pretty hard to function in life, whether you're a child or an adult, if you're really absorbing everybody's emotions and your boundaries maybe let, you know, kind of keep you safe in one regard, but are down and vulnerable in another regard, you're just going to have a pretty wonky life. It's going to be very inconsistent.
Right, and definitely tiring. I like you as a child. My mother was clinically depressed, and I was the eldest, so I just got to hear about it day in and day out about all the stresses in the world, and I really wanted to fix it. And as children, don't we want to please our parents? You know, because we love our parents. So it's so common. I think that these boundaries get squished and distorted. But I think also, too, if it wasn't for that, then I wouldn't be who I am today, who I really like. So.
Exactly, and
so
I approach it much the same way. You know, when I was a kid, too, I was really sensitive more to psychic phenomenon. So I could hear ghosts and spirits, and I could see colors around people. And, you know, at one level, that gave me a real advantage because mm-hmm. I knew, for instance, you know, I knew when my mom was going to yell because I could see this dark being about to jump into her, and I thought, we're in trouble now, right?
Wow.
Now, but at another level, who do you talk about that to? And then when I got older and I went out in the world and I would go to Target and I would perceive, yeah, there's a lot of other beings shopping there besides three shoppers. And they're shopping for more than, you know, than books that, you know what
and
I
underwear.
Mean? They're underwear, exactly. And so, you know, that's a really challenging way to live because you feel like you're going crazy half the time. And the truth is, it's really not our business. Most of the time, what other people are feeling, you know, how many spirits are floating around and what they're doing, what kind of needs people have, what their real motivations might be, what they need to do to heal. Most of the time, it's not our business because there's not that much we can do about it anyway. And so we really do need boundaries. And I've finally figured out other people need me to have boundaries too. I may be able to walk into Target, I know, isn't that a cool thing, and understand that this person has a demonic attachment if I go really way out there. And there's a couple techniques that I use that let me help without getting in the middle and helping, but only if I'm shown something, only if I'm called to do it. Because the truth is, it's really other people's path to deal with their own problems and issues. And you know, if we take something on for them, then they can't learn the lessons that they could potentially learn by holding or owning their own feelings or their own pain or, you know, the ways that they're going to gain wisdom. So it took me a long time, Dr. Karen, to figure out, like, you know what, I'm not really helping people when I think I'm helping people. Not this way, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. My experience echoes that as well. And I, you know, read a while back that there was a case where this woman had terminal cancer, and she went to a last-ditch approach to go to a spiritual healer, and the spiritual healer says, oh, well, you know, you're taking on all the anger from your ex-husband. And she says, what? And he says, yeah, so do you want to continue carrying his stuff? And she's like, absolutely not. So once that awareness came to her, you know, whatever they did, I'm not really sure, but she shored up those boundaries. Interestingly, her cancer completely receded. She went into remission and found out a couple of years later that her husband died of cancer, the ex-husband that she'd been carrying all his anger for, because he'd been happily dumping his stuff into her because she was a you know, willing receptacle. And that was one thing that was highlighted in your book. I think it was really important to remind me too of, oh, that's right, we can do this. And sometimes we don't realize that we're even being harmful to other people by dumping on them.
Absolutely. You know, and I have a similar story. Years ago, I had a woman come in and she had sarcoma. She had cancer of, you know, kind of in the abdominal area. And we did a couple sessions, and that was where her brother used to punch her cruelly, you know, not for fun, not like, you know, but really turned her into a battering ram when she was a little kid. And she had her own feelings about that, which she certainly deserved to have. But what she was really holding was his bitterness and his anger and his frustrations and his sense of shame. And so once we cleared that out, she still went through surgery, but the surgeon was shocked because he took the mass out, which had been malignant, and it wasn't malignant anymore. So literally
yeah,
the poisons
that was a great
were
story.
Her brothers. So we're not helping ourselves when we're holding, especially what's not ours, or when we become victimized, you know, in order to help somebody else out. There's more powerful ways to be in the world, and there are more empowering ways to help people who themselves may need assistance or help as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Sage advice. How do people know, some people are very have boundary issues after hearing all this, but how do people know which boundaries are a problem, or you know, what is it that they need to shore up?
That's a great question. And so I'll talk a little bit about how I usually explain boundaries from a really simple point of view. You know, and again, these tend to be boundaries, you know, which just, you know, kind of we tend to think of more psychologically, you know, like what are we going to put up with or not, or physically, what kind of space
right.
I need around us. You know, we're talking about subtle energy boundaries, which are the invisible ones that emanate from us. And there are certain symptoms that relate to the four main bands of energetic boundaries. We actually emanate thousands and thousands of subtle energy fields. They come out of our cells. They come off our organ systems. They come off of each chakra. But I like to organize them in four graduating bands that extend from the body because things can be simple. They don't always have to be complicated. And so the boundary band that's closest to the body, I typically see these as colors as well, which just makes it easier to relate to them. That red band, which is right around the body, maybe it goes about a, you know, half foot or a foot out, that's the physical band. And so we have a number of bands inside of that or layers inside of it that are deciding and holding programs that help decide what we're going to let into our physical body or not. And we might scratch our head and go, well, on the subtle level, you know, what does physicality have to do with anything? But I know a lot of people who let in other people's illnesses. They will go through car accidents for members of the family that could potentially, you know, go through an accidents or traumas or problems. They will literally
wow.
absorb. I know. They'll absorb other people's pain. So, you know, you'll know you're one of these people if you go, oh, my God. All I have to do is sit next to somebody with a knee problem and my knee starts to hurt. Or go to the movies. How about this one? I don't go to horror movies or really violent movies. I can't, my youngest son can't go either because whatever's happening on the screen, it is so happening inside of my body. If somebody's getting punched, I'm feeling punched. So some of us
wow.
are very physical. Or we take on animals' pain. I mean, that's a tough one. I'm sure you've seen, and most of us have seen, those commercials with the hurt and injured animals. Oh,
mm-hmm.
It's just enough to take us down when we're physical.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know animals do that for us as well.
Oftentimes they do.
And I wonder, you know, you talked about, you know, horror movies, which I used to love as a kid, which is probably why I really enjoy, you know, feeling entities now. It's just one of those connections. But I noticed that, like, this morning was an example there. My husband loves his big, huge, whatever, Galaxy Note 3 phone, and he's on Facebook watching videos. Now, it's fascinating the videos that Facebook shows him versus the Facebook videos that show me. Completely interesting difference in energy. So he, and I'm hearing this in the bathroom. So I'm getting ready for work, and I'm hearing swearing and this caustic, violent energy. Now, there wasn't any physical violence, but it was this violent energy coming in. And I think it was something about how we were being lied to and blah, blah, blah. You know, some sort of, not conspiracy theory thing, but something along those lines. But I couldn't hear the whole thing, but I could just hear swear word. And I could immediately, my mood just started tanking. I started feeling angry. And I started kind of taking on, you know, some of this energy. And then I tested that there was a dark angel attached to the video.
Right.
So then we, you know, healed that. And then, but the thing was, I mean, for a good 20 minutes afterwards, I mean, I did not want to speak to my husband. I put a bubble around him. I put a bubble around his phone. And I was like, oh, my gosh, how do I, aside from going, oh, honey, can you put your earplugs in, please? You know, like just wanting that peace. Like, I could just definitely feel me as an empathic just being pulled into this direction. I didn't want to.
Absolutely. And we don't want to most of the time. I mean, the physical gift I use in my practice, and I think I use it in a good way, it doesn't hurt me and it helps the client. You know, every so often and even over the phone, you know, I'll, like, pick up from a client what they might be going through. I'll go, gosh, your neck hurts, doesn't it? And they'll go, how do you know that? And it's like, well, because my neck hurts, but I don't hold on to it. I register it, but I've taught myself, as I'm sure you've taught yourself, to know this is not mine. I'm only giving temporary permission to lend my body out, and I only want to know what's going to be helpful for the client and not harmful for me. You know, but it can be very useful for a client if I'm going, you know, I know that you're complaining about your right shoulder, but actually I think it's your left shoulder that has the problem. So let's work on the real site of the issue, and then sooner or later their right shoulder is fine. So life's kind of tricky. Situations can be tricky, and it can be very useful to have these gifts. We just don't want to be done under with them. So I have a funny story with the physical with my oldest son. He was in college, and he called me. He goes, Mom, I'm not feeling really good. And I said, you have mono. And he goes, I don't have mono. I don't have it. And I go, just go in for a test. So he went in for a test, and he called me back. And he says, I don't have mono. I told you I don't have it. I said, well, the test is wrong. I said, go back in a week. So he went back in, and a week later, he calls me up, and he goes, okay, I have mono. So, because I could feel the mono. I could feel it in my body. I knew he had mono. And it's like, all right, well, sooner or later, medicine will catch up. And in the meantime, just do these things and then go get the test again. So we can use them wisely.
That's a great story.
Yeah, I know. But we just don't want our gifts using us either. The other band, the second of the four bands is emotional. And we've really already been alluding to that both of us, you know, kind of struggle sometimes with this one. Emotions are emotions. Emotions have to do with feelings, but they also have to do with beliefs. And emotions actually made out of a feeling getting matched up with a belief or a thought. Mm. And there's feelings are great. And even beliefs can be really helpful. We don't have to repeat problems if we have a really strong belief that leads us away from danger and into kinder waters. But emotions become problematic when, A, they're not our own, right? Or because you can't process what's not yours. Or when our own emotions get stuck and traumatized, you know, or we can't finish feeling a feeling or listen to what it has to say, or the beliefs are just plain inaccurate. Unfortunately, boundary-wise, what happens is then we can tend to keep attracting other people's feelings or life situations that further a misperception or a false belief about ourselves. And that's when we get in trouble emotionally, is when our boundaries are, you know, kind of letting in what's not good for us or keeping out what is good for us on the psychological level.
Oh, now, have you seen cases where, which I think happened, I was with somebody yesterday working on their father who's diagnosed with cancer, and he's just been like, incredibly emotional and just crying and crying and crying. But it wasn't, I had a feeling it wasn't so much about the cancer. So what came into my mind was that the fungal infection in his mummy, one of the fungal infections has been dying because of the work we've been doing. And it was the fungus that was crying out that they're dying, you know. And so it was, he was feeling the consciousness of this fungus. I was trying to explain this, you know, to the family member, which they totally got, which I was impressed with. But it was like, okay, so really sure, like, you know, the average person's not going to be able to figure that out, can they, or will they?
No, they've never been taught that, and then they'll think it's crazy, but it absolutely makes sense. I worked with a woman who I had suggested a few months ago. I said, you may have Epstein-Barr. Maybe you want to go get tested. And she went in, and she got tested, and she had a lot of Epstein-Barr, which is a virus. Now, this was the healing that we did. She, of course, had a lot of feelings and this and that and the other thing. We actually talked to one of the spokespersons. This is an even weirder story. We talked to one of the spokespersons for the virus. And the spokesperson, he was like a captain in the Epstein-Barr military, said, you know, we don't want to be here where we're from. We just aren't getting the energy that we need. Our plane is covered with darkness, and we have no energy. So we're in you know, my client, to just borrow some of your energy. And we negotiated a truce, you know, based on her allowing this being to take, a couple of her mitochondria and this and that, you know, to go where it needed to go to help his so-called people. And you know what? The Epstein-Barr cleared up. It cleared up. because, you know, there's all kinds of things that are occurring inside of us, you know, that we may be feelings that aren't ours. It could be fungus or candida that are going through die-off. You know, we may be the ground, you know, for other dimensions or other, you know, kind of experiences that are happening, and we don't even know it because it's kind of occurring inside of our silent self, you know, who doesn't know how to tell us what's really happening here. And, you know, so I think there's a lot more that impacts our boundaries than just, okay, Dad was sad when we were growing up, so we absorbed his sadness, or we think we have to take care of everybody's sadness. So I think we do have to stay really open-minded, Dr. Karen, and creative, you know, to see and sense what might really be going on and why our boundaries are letting certain things come in or why they're keeping certain things out, too.
Creative is right, and open-minded, absolutely. I'm all, every day I get, like, my beliefs change. I tell people my beliefs will change usually on a weekly or daily basis based on new information. So this, you know, my opinion might change. And just, you know, just recently, really recently, like say in the last month or two, I would say, is that I had found that there were entities attached to the parasite or even
I've
a curse.
That too.
And I was like, oh my gosh, seriously, these poor little guys. Like,
Yep. I see the same thing, especially with virus. But with viral conditions, and there's often a bondage, like a cord, that they're connected somewhere else. And parasites, yeah, there's parasites on them, kind of spurring them on. And I have learned, as you know, we're both talking about, you know, here's the trick that I kind of use myself. If I get something very strange intuitively when I'm working with a client or just in my life, I ask myself, would I make this up? And if I, and if it's not something I pick up, it's probably right. You know.
Okay, that might be very helpful, but it certainly is helpful for me to hear that you have found that too, because sometimes I have no one else to, like, you know, because they're all looking at me like, oh, I haven't found that one yet, you know.
The two other boundary bands that people frequently find a challenge for them, right outside emotional, is relational. And relationships are what we're here for. We're here for love, to relate to our true selves. We're here to connect with spirit. We're here to figure out how to create more love where there isn't enough love. And even if there is a lot of love, how to create more love. But a lot of people get trapped relationally. Again, their motives might be to take on others' illnesses or feelings or desires or dreams because they care about them. But this whole relationship that can be very, very challenging for people, in that they could bond to sources or levels of information or places or time zones or parts of themselves, you know, that are really undermining their life rather than not. So I find many, many of we codependent people, I use the phrase energetic codependence, not just regular codependence, but I really want to do a book on energetic codependency sometime, because I think,
oh my gosh, yes.
Isn't it a great idea? Because it would explain to people about who they are. Like, why does the same person always end up with a narcissist? You know, or why do you always end up with the borderlines? Or why do you always end up with, you know, kind of this type of person or that type of person?
Or the addict.
Relationally, the addict. I've done that one really well. I'm really great with the narcissist partners. But because it's relational bondage. You know, because we're, for one reason or another, thinking we're going to help them, or we're avoiding our own feelings or whatever it is. But a lot of what I call those isms in relationships show up, the roots of them show up in relational bond, you know, kind of band. So if you've got consistent relational patterns, that's the place to look for the reasons why. Like, you know, what are we exchanging and why? And without shaming ourselves. It never, ever works to shame ourselves. So never, ever, ever. You know, it's just, what am I trying to gain here, and what learnings can I take, and then can I release myself from this pattern if it's not a good one, too?
Right. And I noticed that a long time ago, one of my spiritual healers noted that she says, you know, the reason that your husband at the time is angry a lot is because you aren't okay with your own anger.
Right.
So somebody's got to carry it. And I was like, oh, that did not feel good to hear that. I was like, seriously? And
right.
I thought, oh, that's true, because I ended up with fibromyalgia, very, very sick, and it's one of those illnesses where we see a lot of suppressed anger.
That's right.
And resentment.
That's right. Yep, lots of resentment. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are clues to help us look at ourselves. I frequently find, I spent in therapy 6 months one time looking at my resentments. It was not fun work. I usually define regret as wishing I had been or done something different, and resentment as wishing others had done something different. And neither are really going to get us anywhere. They're not going to really get us anywhere. So, you know, the past is the past, and the other person is the other person. And we are who we are. So, yeah, but it can really set up, you know, a whole milieu for diseases. I have had problems in all of the four main areas. The fourth area is spiritual, which technically has to do with our relationship with our own real spirit or real self, but also our own relationship with, you know, greater spirit, whatever term people use. You know, but this is the area too where there's all kinds of other visible and invisible spirits. So we've both been talking to this level as well, you know, because it's in that domain that it's really easy to get interconnected with, like, not good spirits, you know, whatever you want to call them, jinn, demons, ghosts, the fallen souls, needy souls, victim souls, and, you know, they're not all bad, of course. We want a good relationship with the spirit world, you know, but, you know, we also want, you know, kind of only good ones we're connected to. My youngest son is very heart-based, and he doesn't see things clairvoyantly. He's a feeler, and he just senses and knows things. But he has a very mature spiritual band. He has a really, really strong sense of values and good and bad and wrong and integrity. And when he was maybe four, he kept coming into my bed at night, which is fine, except it was every night, and he kicked. And what happened is he would come in because all the toys in his room were talking. So, you know, all those little magical toys, the ones that, like, I am Buzz Lightyear, or, you know, the talking toys, all the talking toys were going off in his room. So, isn't this bizarre? I know. So he was coming into my bed, and then he would be kicking, and I would be going into his room to turn off all his toys. So I was not getting any sleep. So one night, I just put him in my bed, and I went into his bed, and I just stayed there to try to figure out what was going on. And my sense is that in his closet, where he kept most of his toys when they weren't all over the room, there was a portal, and there were these little beings. There were these little children souls. So children who had died, who weren't able to find the light, or they didn't yet know they were dead, like, Gabe just gave off this angelic energy, and so they just came in and they started playing with his toys. I mean, so it wasn't like it was bad, but it wasn't very peaceful either, and it wasn't necessarily that
wasn't very appropriate.
Right, exactly. So I asked Spirit to just, like, set that portal up, you know, so that if the kids' souls came in, you know, they could just right away be taken to where they needed to go, you know, through the veil. And I think there's probably still a portal in that room, to be honest. But it doesn't bother us. And, right? And if it's doing something good, we're okay with it. But, you know, think about, I get parents calling me all the time, as you may too, like, talking about their kids can't sleep at night, or there's an entity bothering their kid, or the kid says there's a really nasty ghost in the house. And there could be good beings too, but maybe the child doesn't know how to relate to them. And so there's a whole universe that we live within that is so-called invisible that impact many, 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 many of us, and that we need to have knowledge of. If we're sensitive in that area, we just need to know it's real and then go about figuring out, kind of, again, that old phrase, how to set our boundary or not, how to figure out our parameters for how to engage.
Oh, exactly. And do you ever notice that sometimes, maybe it's my perception, but it seems to me if someone is going to have the psychic gifts like that, sometimes it seems like they seem more bad than good. What's that about? Like, why are they being demons and ghosts and not angels? Is it just because the vibration level is different that they can see in?
Yeah, my sense is this. I think that we get entities for one of two main reasons. I think that there's entities that really need to be leaving, you know, they're dead or deceased, or they're living but they're not in the person's body, you know, that part of their soul. But they want to hang around the earth even if they shouldn't. And so I think those types of entities are stimulating the living being's life energy. You know, kind of the lower energy centers in the body are very dense and heavy. So they're literally setting up nasty situations for somebody or threatening situations or hurting them or giving them, you know, kind of bad dreams or whatever to create fear, to create anger, to create addiction so they can steal their life energy and be anchored to the earth. And there's a second reason, too, but what I have, for instance, for a while, my ex-husband and I had a former crack addict stay with us. He'd just gone through treatment, and he was very, very psychic, and as soon as he got money, he was off, out, he bought crack, and the police found him on a cliff, and he said, the demons keep telling me to jump, so they were obviously stimulating him into this addictive behavior and the feelings about it that, of course, he had his own emotional pain, you know, because then they could hang around. So I think the story of the concentration camps, really good people getting killed, they were good people with a lot of life energy. Is if you're going to rob life energy, you want to rob it from people who have a lot of life energy. I think there's another set, and they could be the same, of dark entities, that's just what I call them, who also want to convince people to give away their spiritual light. So we're all connected to spirit, whatever word you use, constantly, in a really unique way. But I believe that there's certain beings who have turned so away from Creator and their own stream of spiritual light, and maybe because they don't feel good about themselves, maybe because they're mad at God, you know, whatever, or they think God's going to, you know, send them to hell, I don't know, that we can't sustain ourselves as a spiritual being without spiritual energy. So I think they go after really good people, usually, in order to convince that person consciously or unconsciously that they're bad or that they need to give away their spiritual light so they can really basically get in the stream of that light and take it. So those are my opinions. You know, certainly sometimes really bad people, you're going to find that they have really bad entities. But I have a lot of clients who are super good people, and they go, you know, the fact that I have an entity, does that mean I'm bad? And frequently it just means they're really gifted. They have a lot of beautiful light. And so if you're a bad guy, you're going to want to steal the best energy that you can. You're not necessarily going to want to steal a bad energy. You're going to want to steal sustaining and nourishing energy. So I just used a lot of words to explain probably a really simple concept. But, Dr. Karen, that's typically what I find. And when I explain that to people, they feel better about having those kind of experiences. It's a weird sort of inverted compliment, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're talking about. And I just had another woman in the edge, she was breaking down, crying, and I kept sensing there was something else she wasn't telling me, and then she said she was very empathic, and that was like ding, 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 you know, she had taken care of her mother and who died and the whole bit, and then she did finally admit, she says she has dark spirits attacking her. And so when we did check, she had all these fallen angels, and I said, wow, I said, you must be really important.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, and I think it kind of like, she's like, yeah, I know, but she's like, how do I stop them attacking? I said, well, let's do it right now. Let's heal them and get them on their way and do some.
Exactly. Release them, you know, because at some level, most of them, this is not good for them to be bothering us. It's keeping them from their higher plan.
They need help too.
Exactly.
They need help too. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that is great. I love your stories. So people can get a sense of, you know, where their boundaries might be, you know, what might be broken. How do people shore up their boundaries? What are the some? Maybe give us one of the best ways or a trinket of or a tip that we can all use.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple really important pieces. First, physically. I heard you say you were really into food. It is really important to maintain our physical body because our physical body is electromagnetic and it's made out of sound. And if we need enough electricity going through our body to produce the boundaries around us, in general, our body produces electricity that creates electromagnetic fields. And even more so, magnetic fields are more of the invisible ones. So if we don't have enough, you know, kind of healthy foods and exercise, we're not going to have a good electromagnetic system or we're going to have bad boundaries. So you have to exercise and you have to sleep and you have to eat foods that are healthy for who you are. Most important thing to do. I think secondarily, you know, kind of where you seem to have the greatest challenge, sit down, you know, and kind of figure out what it's telling you. You know, what false belief is causing your messages to go into the world and say, you know, kind of like with the Charlie Brown, like you're Lucy and you're working for 5 cents and then you're working for free. You know, there's a false belief in there. And there's a part of us actually subconsciously buying into it. Not for a bad reason frequently, but maybe because we think that's our calling. We think God wants us to do that. We think that's the only way we can help people or whatever. So you have to figure out the basic core reason. And I think third, develop a tool to ask for help for people without you giving your energy away. That's so important. Like, I use a very, very simple process that I developed over the years. I just call it healing streams of grace, where if I feel like I'm being tugged at by somebody or their energy, you know, I could fall prey to having their energy go into me, and I know that I have something to do with that, too. I just ask for healing streams of grace to go directly from higher power to that person and cut me out of the middle. So you have to develop a way to get out of the middle so that your body isn't the war ground or the healer's ground for what's occurring, too. Those are the three things that are most important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. That was very succinct, and it's interesting you were talking about a tool because I literally just recently developed my friend Jenny, who does a lot of energy work as well, taught me how to do this in imprinting these positive intentions into music. So it's just a tool in which people, you know, can say, I'm going to direct these positive frequencies to this person and then not feel like they have to do something on their own or release entities or, you know, that kind of thing. And it works. And so that it's like, so that you don't have to do it manually. I say manually, personally, you know, to like every single Tom, Dick, and whoever that crosses the path.
Exactly. See, and any tool would work. If somebody's really visual, you know, they could, you know, just image that there's this light that follows around them and just sends blessings to people. You know, if somebody's really kinesthetic, they could just call on a guide, an angel, to walk with them to do all that work for them. So, I mean, I think we can all develop our own way of doing it, just spend a little bit of time to see what might work the best for your particular personality as well.
Oh, that's great advice. Great advice. And do you have any special guidance for people that are in the healing profession or that are, you know, empathic and they're, you know, obviously seeing people as clientele? That some things they can do in addition to what everybody else would be doing to help their boundaries.
I have the simplest technique, and when I teach it to people, they always go, that's way too simple. But I've had thousands of people tell me that this makes all the difference. So I just call it spirit to spirit. There's only 3 steps. I begin every session with this. I tell other healers to do the same thing, that you could do it before the person comes in. You can do it as they're sitting down. But just affirm your own spirit. So you're really going to come from just your highest place through the session. B, you affirm other spirits. So that includes the client, but all the energies, all the spiritual guides you're connected to, they're connected to, anyone they're connected to, that you're only going to be really dealing with those higher aspects. You're not controlling the lower aspects. That's just what is going to be doing the interacting, you know, is our higher aspects. And three, I just ask for greater spirit, Holy Spirit, you know, to be the only one giving information, doing the work, and determining the outcome. It takes like less than a second to do the technique. And I'll give you an interesting story. The first time I taught this, like in a big group, there were about 200, 250 people in a workshop, and I had been keynoting, and they were all healers. And I told them this technique, and one of the women raised her hand, and she goes, "So this is really all you need?" And I go, "Well, not really, but yes." And so we practiced, and you know what I'm saying. And so I'm riding after dinner, I'm going up on the elevator, and three women get on the elevator, and one of them looks at me and says, "These two friends of mine just saved my life using spirit to spirit." They had been at dinner, and she was allergic to green pepper, and inadvertently green pepper got in her dinner, and she started choking. I mean, like choking, you know, anaphylactic shock, dying, and immediately her two friends did spirit to spirit, and she could start to breathe again within just a few seconds, and she went
back.
I know. Isn't that amazing? I was like, oh, this really works. So it's a really, that's it. There's three steps. And people like to get it more complicated, like, well, how do you affirm or how do you do this? Like, it doesn't really matter. You just say, "I affirm my spirit, I affirm all the spirits, and I affirm the spirit." That's it. There's nothing fancy. And I am working on a book where I'm describing it in many, many words and many, many pages. But just to convince people that it's really, really simple. And people can change the words. I don't care what words they use. You know, I don't care if they believe in God. They can say goodness of humanity or goodness. It doesn't matter. Or higher something. Higher toaster. It doesn't make any difference. But it works. It's phenomenal with client sessions because you immediately have boundaries. It puts up boundaries because your own spirit is going to vote on the boundaries and say, you know, if it's not healthy for you to pick up on those people, that your client's emotions, you're not going to do it. They're not going to come. So it's a fantastic technique.
Fantastic. Yes, I just read that in your book, and I was like, oh, but it's really great to hear you talk about it. And speaking of the higher self, we've mentioned it a couple times here. I read in another book about, and this is funny, I guess, thought nirvana, I don't know what, but I always thought the higher self was perfect. And I'm getting that, not exactly, that there are things direct from source, and there are information from higher self or parts. So I'm just curious what your take is on it. You know, one healer said that, you know, some people's higher selves is, you know, different than ascended masters they've been or are connected to. But I thought higher self was your God self and is perfect. So but what are your
well, and I on? When I say higher self, I'm very much in the same camp that you are. I like to use the word spirit and soul and differentiate. So to me, higher self and spirit or essence is the same. I think of that as our perfect self, that basically is perfect because it always knows it's connected to, you know, to the higher source. And so I think of that self as already there. I think of the soul as kind of like a slowed down part of our spirit or higher self that's obviously not there yet, you know, a little flawed, but that's the part of us that can gain experiences. And we can't and I think of the soul as the part of us that certainly causes our problems, right? Puts all this stuff into our system, you know, that's accurate and inaccurate for us to learn karmic lessons and all that. But that's also the part of us that needs experiences to create more love. Because we're not going to create more love from our spirit because everything is love. And we already are love.
Right.
And if we want to create more love, like in an atmosphere, like the material plane where there's choices about love, the soul is critical to that because the soul actually has to choose love. And so the soul is certainly less than perfect, but that's also what makes it beautiful and important because it has to choose. So, you know, I've had lifetimes where I wasn't choosing love. I remember once where I was a Chinese warlord and I was a bad dude. I'm embarrassed about it. You know, I'm quite embarrassed about it. to be really honest. And I'm like, whoa, that was like, I was really bad. But you know what? There we go. I don't need to do that again now, do I? I don't need to be a bad person again. So it's the part of us that gets to choose.
And also experiences like that and the knowledge of that sometimes patients are feeling very victim-y and it comes out in the past life that they were, something like you described, some sort of warlord, or they killed their husband and then their life, and now their husband's an alcoholic and making their life miserable,
Yeah.
I was like, well, yeah. It's hard to feel like a victim when we probably victimized people on some level, in some life, in some dimension, and so can we just all forgive each other?
Exactly.
For all that,
That would be a really great solution. It's just to forgive and get over it and start making good choices.
Oh my gosh. Well, this time has flown by, and I think we probably should give it a close, because otherwise I could keep asking you questions for another couple hours. But this has been fantastic. And for all of our listeners listening in, please visit Cindy's site at cindydale.com. So it's CYNDIDALE.com. And so you have an event coming up in August. You want to just say a couple words about that event?
Yes, that weekend of the 5th, 6th, 7th of August, I'm down in Charlotte teaching about the spiritual gifts. I'm also going to be going to Raleigh like September 30th, August, October 1st and 2nd. I'll be going back down to Charlotte again in March. And then again, I don't know what's going on with the Carolinas and me, but I think it's because my son will go to ball there. But whatever, baseball, we'll see. So I have a number of events that are going to start showing up. I usually go to California in February, and I teach at the local college up here in Minneapolis, and then a few classes through my own site as well. So lots to do, and, you can check back on the site for different programs too.
Oh, that's right. So get on Cindy's mailing list as well. It's just right there on the homepage, and you can take a look at the store, take a look at all the Cindy's awesome books, and, of course, the one we're talking about today, The Energetic Boundaries. I highly recommend what's going on in the world right now and to work on these things. And I just find this work just so incredibly fun and energizing. And some people look at me and they look like they're slightly overwhelmed, with the amount of information I'm processing. But I'm like, it's super fun for me. Maybe I don't need a vacation. Maybe I do, but I really like this stuff. So thank you so much, Cindy, for your time, your energy, the blessing that you are in the world. And I really appreciate what you've done.
Thank you, Dr. Karen. It's been amazing.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for listening in as well. Until next time, bye for now, and blessings to you all.